We are all God's children. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. Those words from the letter of St. John that we heard just a few moments ago could speak beautifully to a subject that we are focusing on here at the parish this weekend, vocations. Tomorrow is Vocation Sunday, and it is the 49th annual day of prayer for vocations. And we've been very blessed over the past several months to have a great witness to vocation, our seminarian, Jeremy, who is here on the altar with us tonight. It asks us, this focus on vocations, to ask a question. What will God reveal to us about what he wants us to be? I got an answer myself exactly 10 years ago this month. In April of 2002, I found myself in a place I never expected to be, doing something I never expected to be doing, and it changed my life forever. I was attending Sunday Mass while on a retreat at a Trappist monastery in Georgia. And for the first time in my life, I saw and heard a permanent deacon preach. His name was Wayne Bodkin, and he was from Great Britain. I remember that he preached in three languages, English, French, and Spanish. It was an international gathering that was happening at the monastery. And that the gospel was about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. I couldn't explain it at the time, but something just clicked. And from out of nowhere, I was struck by a shocking, improbable thought. This, it said to me, is what you should be doing. And it was just that simple. And that is how my vocation was born. The seed was planted. And for better or worse, tonight, here I am. It is impossible to say where exactly vocations come from, or how the Holy Spirit does his work. Who can say what divine chemistry lights a spark and makes it burst into flame? But I can say this much, which may surprise you. If you think you don't have a vocation, you are wrong. The fact is, everyone in this church tonight has a vocation. Every one of us is called to something. How we choose to answer that call, or choose not to, defines us not only in this life, but also in the next. For a lot of us, that vocation may be marriage or a family. It may be living in the world with a career as a single man or woman. But for some of us, it may involve a religious vocation. And it just might sneak up on you and alter your life in amazing ways. I'm here today to tell you that if you think you couldn't possibly have a religious vocation, if you think that is utterly beyond the realm of possibility, and it's laughable, think again. I used to think the same thing. And so did a lot of people who have found themselves drawn into an unplanned love affair, a love affair with God that upended their world. This is a phrase I heard a lot when I was in formation, and it is worth remembering. God doesn't call the perfect. He perfects the called. I like to tell the story of a man from Douglaston. Some of you may know him. He was born a Protestant and spent much of his life riding back and forth on the Long Island Railroad into work, in a sense waiting for God to reveal to him what he was to be. For a while in college, this young man was a communist. While studying overseas, he fathered a child out of wedlock. But he later underwent a profound conversion. And at the age of 23, he was baptized a Catholic. 3 years later, he entered a monastery in Kentucky, where he went on to become one of the most influential and brilliant spiritual writers of the last century. I'm speaking of Thomas Merton. Or you might consider the story of a woman who graduated 3 years ago, summa cum laude, from Harvard. She could have gone to graduate school or go to work for a Fortune 500 company or teach at any leading university in the world. But she gave it up for a life of poverty, chastity, and obedience. Today she is a novice with the Dominicans in Michigan. And she also is from Queens. In fact, she is from this very parish. Her name is Marianne Marks, or as she is known today, Sister Mary Veritas. To paraphrase an old saying, sometimes a vocation is what happens to you when you are making other plans. And if you think you already have a career and your life is all set, well, so did most of the men who were ordained in the United States last year. There's Father Juan Tran of San Francisco, who was a lawyer for 12 years. Father Jonathan Kelly of St. Paul was an investment banker on Wall Street. Father Philip Petta of Fort Worth was baptized a Catholic when he was 48 and 2 years later entered a seminary. Father Christopher Klusman of Milwaukee may have answered the most unusual call, one that came to him in total silence. He is a priest who was born deaf. And if you want one more example of how God's grace works, there's a young man who was a cartoonist and an animator for Paramount Pictures before he heard the call and joined the seminary over 50 years ago. That man is on this altar, Monsignor Fanaro. We are all God's children, and what we shall be has not yet been revealed. What we shall be, what God reveals to us, so often makes up the great adventure of our lives. And it is within each of us if we simply take the time to look, to listen, to pray, and to dream. I invite you this weekend, every one of you, to do just that. Ask God where He wants you to go, what He wants you to do, how He wants you to make His dream for you come true. You may be awed and humbled at what you will find. Many years after he had left Queens and taken his last trip on the Long Island Railroad and embarked on the great adventure of his life, Thomas Merton wrote some words about vocation that I want to leave you with this afternoon. He suggested that it is not just about making a decision, but about making a discovery. Discovering vocation, he wrote, does not mean scrambling towards some prize just beyond my reach, but accepting the treasure of true self that I already possess. Vocation does not come from a voice out there, he wrote, calling me to be something I am not. It comes from a voice in here, calling me to be the person I was born to be.